Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Wouldn't it be cool if people were driving by this place and there was a big sign that said, "Love spoken here," and then signed by God himself. I think that's what he has in mind. He wants love to be spoken here, and he wants to be the first, the primary speaker of that love. And then when we've caught that love, we speak love to one another, and not only to each other, but that we somehow find ways that we can speak love out there. But you know what? Not everybody understands what love is because we have different love languages. Gary Chapman did some groundbreaking work in that and found five different languages by which people attempt to communicate love with other people. Let me give you a bad example, all right? I was pastor in my first parish some years back, and on a Sunday morning, there was a young man and a young woman sitting out there. I knew the man. His name was Michael, and I'm making that up. I mean, the name. The story is true. And I was really happy for him to be sitting next to a girl because he was kind of a dork. And I was hoping that one day he would find that love of his life. And so he introduced Ashley to me after the service. And then Sunday after Sunday, there they would be sitting there. And it didn't surprise me when after a couple of months, Michael said, "We want to get married." And I thought, oh, they're kind of young, but hey, we can work with that. And so got them ready, and we had the wedding. They got married. And I thought, okay, living happily ever after. It didn't quite turn out that way. About a year later, he came to me all down and despondent and depressed, downcast. And I said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "She left me. Ashley left me from my former best friend, David." And then he spilled out a few more details that I'm not going to share with you. And I asked him the question, "What, did you love her?" And he said, "Oh, I love her so much." I said, "Did you tell her?" "Yes, I told her all the time, again and again." And we'd be walking through the mall, and she'd see something she liked, I'd go in and buy it for her. As a matter of fact, our apartment was just filled with stuff that I bought for her because she liked it. And I wanted to tell her I love her, so I bought more stuff and more stuff. Now, his best friend, former best friend, David, probably figured out that gifting was not her love language. It is a language that Michael spoke eloquently, but she didn't get it. She had a different language. Now, probably David had figured out, oh, maybe she responds to words of affirmation. No, that's an important kind of a language, not just gifts, but words of affirmation. And words of affirmation, no, hey, you are so cool. I just love you so much. You are so precious to me. You are the world to me. You mean everything to me. I don't know how I can live without you. Those are, you know, words of affirmation. On the opposite end of that would be, so at the 15th wedding anniversary, and she asked him, "Do you still love me?" And he said, "Well, I told you I loved you the day I asked you to marry me, and if I had changed my mind, I would have let you know." Okay, well, he did not know that language very well, but what is a language that she could listen to and hear? What about QT? I'm not talking about Quick Trip. I'm talking about quality time. Now, some people just absolutely crave quality time, and a lot of people don't know how to give it. Multitaskers are especially bad at it because, okay, you're going to spend an evening together, but what's that other person doing? You know, busy with something, just can't quite let go. And do you ever watch how many people, you know, they're together? Oh, we're going to go out for dinner together. Quality time together. What are they all doing? Boom, 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 you know, on their phones. Quality time? Yeah, give me a break here. What about acts of service? Acts of service. Yeah, you know, there has never in recorded history been an occasion where a wife shot her husband to death while he was doing dishes. Yeah. acts of service. You know, without being badgered, without being begged, without being threatened, you know, pitching in with each other. You know, says, oh, can I help you outside? Could I take the car in to be serviced? You know, things like that. That sounds a little crazy, doesn't it? But acts of service, unsolicited, and just kind of watching. And when the need is there, just jumping in. You know, there are some people that are really good at it, and it kind of embarrasses me because the moment there's a need, before I even realize there's a need, they're helping someone else. What a great thing that is. What about physical touch? Physical touch. You know, we have varying degrees of skin hunger. Everybody has a certain amount of that. We all need to be touched. Babies that are not touched, that are not held, that are not cuddled, are not going to grow up to be healthy without some extensive therapy later on. You know, you see them, they're holding hands, they're hugging, and things like that. And for some people, they get a creepy feeling if there's a whole way too much of that. You got to know what another person's love language is. I was looking out over the congregation, my former parish, and seeing this family together. Now, this was a blended family. Both had been previously married, and they're putting together a family. And it's blending a family is a little bit like setting your hair on fire and trying to, you know, put it out with a hammer. It's difficult. But there was the 8-year-olds sitting next to and just cuddling right up to his stepmother. And I said, "This they're going to make it in this family. This is working." But you see, physical touch was something that to him said love. He might not have had that from his mother, but there was now someone who was giving that to him, and it spoke loudly. You know, we all need to have our love tank filled, but our love tank is always kind of dribbling out some as well, and so we need to have it refilled and refilled. And we all have a certain love language, and perhaps probably one dominant one, and then others that kind of come close. But the question is this: does God speak your love language, your personal love language? You know, go back in the Bible, into the book of Genesis, and in the book of Genesis, one of the first stories is about a tower in a place, well, it's called the Plain of Shinar. Between two rivers, the ground was so level and so flat, but these pagan people believed that if you want to be in touch with the gods, you have to get on a mountain. That's where you can really be in touch with gods. And they didn't have any mountains there. So what did they do? They made their own. They built these, you know, these, you've seen these pictures of these step pyramids called ziggurats. And that's what they were building. They were going to build now a tower like that that would go up to heaven. And they would refer to it as the gate of the gods. Babalil, the gate of the gods in that language. And of course, this is where then God confuses the languages and they can't understand each other anymore and they have to stop the building. And they call that, the Bible calls it the Tower of Babel, which means confusion. Instead of Gate of the Gods, it's confusion because of that human pride and arrogance. You know, sin brought about that confusion. And sin brings a confusion of languages. What I'm talking about here are the love languages, where people do not always understand each other, husbands and wives. You know, I told her a million times, she didn't understand, you know, well, you just don't know her language. And we need to find each other's languages. Parents and kids, coworkers, you just go into any time there are, you know, two people or more, there's going to be some kind of confusion of languages. Sin has that a way of doing it. But so Christ came into the world. He lived that perfect life. He spoke everybody's love language. He died on the cross for our sin, rose again from the dead, and then sent the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, when that Spirit is sent, we've got the reversal, a radical reversal of Babel and confusion. When it says in Acts 2, verse 11, we hear them, that is the disciples, telling in our own languages the mighty works of God. God wants to address you in your language. You see, God doesn't just use spoken language or written words, but he speaks in our own love languages. He is very eloquent and very fluent in speaking your love language. And the most important thing that God wants to communicate with you, what he wants to communicate with you is that he loves you. Very personally, very specifically, he loves you, and he has set out some communication devices to reach you with that love. And so, if God loves us, God wants us to know it. Let's go back to that verse 5 of Romans 5 that was read earlier. In verse 5, it goes this way. God's love has been poured into our hearts, let's say, communicated to us through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. One of the ways that the Holy Spirit uses, I'm going to talk about today and just kind of develop a little bit more fully, would be the language of the words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. Yeah, there's quality time, there are gifts, there's acts of service, physical touch. Today we're talking about words of affirmation. And maybe that's your primary love language. Maybe your receiver is tuned to that frequency. Well, God wants you to know for sure that you are loved. So how would God tell you through this means, through this love language, that medium, how would he tell you that you are loved? On a human level, we hear it from other people like, okay, you really matter to me. You are so special. You mean so much to me. Now, do you know, and do you want to experience more fully that love that God has for you? Well, 5 weeks in a row, Pastor Dreyer and I will be talking about, it's pretty much corresponding with the Lenten season, bringing you messages that are designed to help us understand the love that the language that God uses to reach more deeply into our hearts. And he wants to pour into us his love through the Holy Spirit so that we can live our lives more confidently in his love, applying what we learn on the weekend to the weekday. Five languages of love. Yeah, I believe that they originate in God himself. God's the great communicator, and God within himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is relationship. And there is language that is in God then that he put inside of people when he created them. So being made in the image of God, even though that image has been so disfigured and so distorted by sin, there are vestiges that remain. And so God has that in his character, the ability to communicate with us according to those languages that tell us the reality. God wants to communicate with you and bringing you incredible affirmations. Think of these three, okay? Affirmation, God loves you. Affirmation, God wants you. Affirmation, God knows you. Did you know that God knows you better than you know yourself? He loves you more than you love yourself. God wants you in a relationship with him, even more than you want a relationship with him. So, one of the things we run into in our human relationships is that we often don't really know other people. And the other part of this is that people often don't know us. People don't really know you. And then we distort that further on social media posts. No one portrays themselves as insecure, ineffective, incompetent, unattractive, unpopular. And maybe we don't want to be known exactly as we are. We're not sure. We really want to be in touch with that reality. You see, there are all kinds of ways that the broken human nature expresses itself in sin. Very, very many ways. It's all over the place. There's a little sin factory inside of me that's grinding it out all of the time. And the productivity sometimes gets pretty high. But God is in the business of loving us. In spite of that, while we were yet sinners, that's when Christ died for us. While we were still weak at the right time, he expressed his love on the cross for us, and he expresses it now in words of affirmation. To the ancient Hebrews, God said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Do you think he loved the ancient Hebrews better than he loves you? Not a chance. And when Jesus was facing death, this is what was said about him in John chapter 13. It says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's when Jesus is in that upper room, you know, the night of the Passover. And in that same night, he gives a word of affirmation to his disciples. He said, no longer do I call you servants, I call you friends. You know, think, Son of God incarnate saying, I want to be your friend. What an incredible thing that is. And then think of the encounters that Jesus had with real people, okay? There was a woman who was about to be stoned to death for her adultery. And then Jesus says to the crowd that were throwing those stones or ready to throw stones, he says, now, whichever of you is without sin, you can cast the first stone. And they all went away. He says, where are your accusers? They're gone. He said, well, neither do I condemn you, said Jesus. Probably that was the first nice thing she ever heard anyone say. I can only imagine what her background was, what her childhood was, what that, you know, rejection and the curses that were laid upon her, you're worthless, scum, and all that kind of thing, being called names. And then here comes Jesus with a word of affirmation, and it changes her life. And she knows she is forgiven, and her life takes on a new trajectory. Or think about this little guy. The name is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, he was a reject too, because he was a tax collector. You know, what came first? It was a tax collector and they rejected him, or did they reject him and then he became a tax collector because I may as well, since I'm a reject anyway. And then Jesus said, I'm going to your house today. What? My house? Yeah, today salvation has come to this house, says Jesus, and it changed Zacchaeus' life. There's a foreigner, and she's begging Jesus to heal her daughter. And then Jesus says, I have never seen such a great faith, not even in all of Israel. A word of affirmation for someone who is rejected, but no longer are these people nobodies. They matter, and they matter to the one who really counts, and that is God himself. There are somebody affirming words that say, you really matter. And they're extended personally to each one of us. You know, there's nobody sitting here, nobody that is part of the online congregation today for whom God does not have a word of affirmation and an expression of his love. And you know, I want to tell you this. God will love you when everybody else walks away. The cross speaks about that love so clearly. Actually, a love that would die for you. And you see, Jesus died not just for the sins of the world, but he died for each one of us. You are somebody in the eyes of God. And he's got words of affirmation. But Jesus not only has words of information, we're going to change that verb. Jesus is the word of affirmation. He is that word. In the beginning was the word. He is the word that was made flesh. By the word, everything that came into existence came into being. That word became flesh. And then again, got very, very personal, moved right into your neighborhood. And so, I'm living right by you. I want to live right in your house. I'm coming to your house today. Well, the Bible is full of those words of affirmation. This is what Jesus said. You'll find that in John chapter 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. I affirm you, you've already passed from death to life. Wow. You are somebody in my eyes. John 10, okay, he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. You are known by him. You're known better than you know yourself. And they follow me and I give them eternal life. It's a gift. I give it. It's not, okay, maybe you can have some if you get good enough. No, I give them and they will never perish. And no one could snatch them out of my hand. And then think of Jesus on the cross. What's the first thing Jesus said when he got on the cross? Oh, those terrible, wicked people, go get them, smash them. Nope. He said, Father, forgive them. Amazing. Father, forgive them. Unexpected. Words that affirm God's words to us always begin with forgiveness. Did you know that? Always with forgiveness. Now, I want you to imagine with me. Just put on a little holy imagination. You don't have to close your eyes for this, but I want, as if, okay, so I asked, Lord, what would you be saying to your people? And this is kind of what I got, and I just want to share this with you. Is talking to you personally. I see you. I know you. In your trouble and turmoil. I see you trying to get rid of guilt and shame, trying to do your best and not succeeding. But I know you. I know you. But this thing isn't working for you, is it? Well, I've got something better. It's something that's already been finished, and it's a gift for you. It's called forgiveness. Why? Because I want you so much. And my son bore it all on the cross for you. And now we look upon you with joy. I look upon you as my child, loving you as much as I love my only begotten son, Jesus. Because you are now in my family, restored to your position. I've loved you even way before that. Now, I'm not looking at you with a frown on my face, but with love. And I point at you and I say, hey, angels, take a look. Take a look. That's my kid. Can you hear these words of God affirming you, saying, I'm telling you this because I want you to know it, and I don't want you to ever forget it. Can you hear these words from the Lord personally affirming you? Or maybe you're longing to hear such words from God. Well, in the love letter, that's where you're going to find them. These words, read the letter. Read the letter. It's meant for you. Okay? Words of affirmation. You meditate upon them. You just soak in them. You memorize them. You ever hear of a guy named Martin Luther? Now, I think his love language was words of affirmation. And he heard from God by studying the love letter, by studying the scriptures. You see, he had been for a long time acquainted with the letter of scripture, letter of the Bible. But the more he dug, he began to hear the Spirit. Because he was always troubled. Have I done enough? Have I done enough? Am I worthy of God? And he would always see himself falling short. But when he realized from this word of affirmation for us that he would be saved by faith and not by his works, this is what he said. It was like, I was born anew, and the gates of paradise swung wide open before me. Now, this absolutely changed his life. No longer did he think God had that disapproving frown on him, but the smile of grace, a righteousness that was from God, not achieved by effort, you know, which is always a frustrating way to have a relationship with God. Have I done enough? Have I done enough? Have I done enough? And the answer is, well, no. Why? Why? I did it all. I took care of it all. Why don't you just rest in that? You see, you could hear, like when you read John 3:16, like Shannon did here, you know, and when you say, God so loved the world, okay, strike out the word world and then put your own name in there. God so loved, and that's you, that he gave his only begotten son for you. So the psalmist says, in terms of those words of affirmation, he says, your words are sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. I want you to hear some affirmations that come directly from God for you from the 103rd Psalm. And I'm going to be reading this out of the New Living Translation and making a few little changes and applications as we go along. It says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry with me and filled with unfailing love for me. He will not always accuse me or remain angry at me forever. He does not punish me for all of my sins. He does not deal harshly with me as I deserve. for his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed my sins as far away from me as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to me as I fear him. Those words are words of absolute affirmation, coming from someone who loves you even more than you love yourself, someone who knows you better than you know yourself, someone who wants you in relationship with him even more than you want him. You know, a lot of people are going around with empty love tanks. Everybody needs their tank to be filled, to be topped off. So how can you, through your love language, communicate with them? If God has given you the language of words of affirmation, and there are people all around you that are hurting. And it's hard because, you know, the hurting people like to hide it, and they like to disguise it. And they do it in all kinds of unusual ways. And then hurting people hurt other people. And sometimes the people who hurt others is because their tank is so empty and they're desperately looking even for a negative interaction with them. You know, something that says they exist and that their existence somehow has some weight and some matter. And they've never heard really deeply words of affirmation, only the curses, the abuses, resulting in low self-esteem and self-loathing. There's maybe somebody close to you who has the love language of words of affirmation, and you might be missing out by not speaking it to them. And maybe your language is words of affirmation, and your tank isn't getting very full, but God wants to be the first one to fill it. In the word that was made flesh, the affirmation that you absolutely are loved. You matter to God. You are incredibly precious to him. Let your spirit just take in and hear those words of affirmation.